But you go to 2 Peter chapter 3, only one verse this morning. It's talking about the secularization of this country. And a lot of people want to say it's not real. I want to tell you heaven's real. And I want to tell you hell is real. I am somebody that preaches grace stronger than anybody I know. I'm just a grace preacher. But I want you to know there's also a human responsibility side. God's the one that saves. God's the one that draws. But you must receive that. Now I want you to look at this verse of Scripture because I am talking about human responsibility this morning. The Bible says in verse 9, I like this, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. As some men count slackness. Boy, somebody ought to shout and weep or something right here. But is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said He's not willing that any should perish. I want to speak this morning on this thought. Four caution lights on the road to hell. You know, we don't preach much on that anymore. But I want to say something to you. If you believe in Jesus, hell's mentioned 22 times in the New Testament, and He mentioned it 17. He was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. The way they portray Him in this world today, He's anything but that. That may help me right there. I still believe in a real burning hell. But I want to tell you, I got a God that is long-suffering. A God that does care. And He has put some caution lights up so you don't have to go there. Let me give you this illustration before I give you four things. I was driving down South Carolina going to Myrtle Beach. And I was going down my way. I always go down to... what is it? Damn, Rockingham. Hit one, then hit nine through Ticketsville, and then you go on down to, you better not speed there, Bennettsville, and you go on down to 38 and 501. I was coming down one. One's a two-lane highway. I was coming down through there, and all of a sudden it was real foggy, and then there was some caution lights. Man, they were everywhere. Flashing. And there's one lane I could see that was, we had to go over in one lane. There was a flagman. So I just took it slow. As the guy in front of me, he didn't take it slow. He just ripped on down through there. I said, man, I hope you take care of these. These are costing me. That means you got to watch it. And it's about 1 o'clock in the morning. I was pulling one of my tricks. And I just took it slow. I was going about 25 mile an hour because I was nervous. I wrapped around this turn, and when I wrapped around the turn, there was lights going everywhere, bodies everywhere. This guy lost control of his car, went through some barriers. They were working at night, running into a one of those big excavators, just boxed him in like an accordion. Hit about four or five other people. Their bodies laying everywhere. I got out and I said, What can I do? And they said, I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. Can I do that? Can I pray? I pray. Then they told me to slip on out and they brought all kinds of vehicles in and I read later that two people were killed just because that guy didn't pay any attention to the caution lights. Never paid one lick of attention to it. Let me preach this morning on four caution lights on the road to hell. Number one, found should be up on our board. Romans or Acts chapter 8 and verse 35 through 37. What I'm doing this morning is preaching. What I'm doing is preaching. First caution light is the preaching of the Scripture. You know where you're at right now if you're here and you're lost? You're hearing preaching. And the caution lights are up. Because you're starting to hear the truth, there is a hell. You're hearing the truth, there is a God that loves you and He has sent preachers, anointed preachers, that love God. And by the way, it's not preached much anymore because we're living in a time of the emerging church. And the emerging church, and can I say the prerequisite to be a member of one of those churches is change your Bible. Make a oath that you don't mention hellfire and brimstone. You don't mention blood. You don't mention anything that has anything to do with old-timey religion. Just mention all this newfangled stuff. Health and wealth. I want you to know you're looking at a preacher this morning. I hope every one of you come back. But I'm going to tell you this morning, you're going to get a caution light before you. And I'm praying the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and just shows you your need of Christ. Let's look at the effects of preaching. By the way, it does have effects. In verse 35 of chapter 8, there will be a confrontation with when Scripture is preached. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. This Ethiopian had the Bible open. He had it open to Isaiah. And then what Philip done, he said, I'll just take it from there. I'll just preach where you're reading. See, he didn't understand. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, no, I don't understand. Listen to me, sinner man, sinner woman. You do not understand what all the stuff I'm saying this morning. It's because you're hell-bound and blinded by the devil and you're condemned to an eternal hell. And you just sit back and you say, oh, man, that's just old fogey stuff. You won't say that when you die. Amen. I'll tell you what, I'm still of the nature. I'm going to confront sin. I'm going to confront people going to hell and try to keep them from going to hell. I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing what I've done my whole life, and that is to plead with people that they not die and go to hell. Who in the world would want to go to a place that's burning and burning, and it's an eternal fire, and you don't have to go, and if you go, you'll go over the preaching of the Word of God. There's a flash of light here this morning. And there will be conviction when Scripture is preached. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now listen, he already got enough preaching that he got convicted, and he thought, my man, let me hit the water. I want you to know something. If you hit the water without being saved, you're just coming out a dry or a wet hypocrite. There's a lot of people say, well, I've been sprinkled. I've been this. I've been that. You most likely lost on your way to hell. Because I want to tell you, unless you trust Jesus as your Savior, you're lost. You're gone. You're a goner. But old-timey conviction comes through old-timey preaching. I remember when I got saved, I want to tell you what. I was trembling. I was upset. I thought, Lord, have mercy. I was in church, everybody up there on the altar. I'm a mess back there. And somebody happened to say, anybody else want to come up? Well, Lord, have mercy. I almost ran to the altar. Because I was under conviction. I don't believe in that. Why? You've been watching too much of this junk on TV, this health and wealth gospel. Some of these pretty boys that, oh, they tell you if you're a Christian and you get sick, you're out of the will of God and you ought to have all the money in the world. And you know that's a lie. When preaching's done, there will be a choice when Scripture is preached. You're going to make a choice this morning. You're going to either say, I believe that word and I'm going to get saved, or I'm just going to walk out the door and throw my fist up at my hand up at, and I'm just going to go out the door and die and go to hell. Whew. Acts 8:37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know what Philip said? Okay, you can go in that water. I'll take you down myself. But you ain't hitting that water until I know you trusted Christ. And that don't come to me to be baptized unless you're saved. And don't say, well, I was in a church, they said you had to do that first. No, you do it last. That's not a essential salvation. I'll get a letter for that. Let me tell you something. The preaching of the death, the burial, and the resurrection is the gospel. Am I all right? Number two. Cost of light two. Here they're flashing. Look up over here. They're flashing. Cost of light number two, Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The bride is the church. And let him that hear come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And I'll say number two, the second cost of light is the pleading of the Spirit. I remember when the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. He got a hold of me. It wasn't real comfortable. Because he showed me I was a dirty, rotten sinner. He got a grabbing on me. He showed me the only way to heaven was the blood of Jesus. Am I preaching? See, some of y'all, you go to these little liberal churches once in a while, and they get in there and they'll just flyer you down and come up and read this big old thing. And I ain't got no big old thing for you to read. All I want you to do is respond to the preaching of the Word of God and the pleading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You said, what's the Spirit do? First of all, we find His drawing power. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I'm just going to tell you straight out. He's got drawing power. At night when I went to church, I'm telling the fact now, I had no desire to be saved, I thought. I went to church for trouble. And I was big enough to create a little trouble. Weighed 425 pounds. Had a big old afro. Scary looking. Polka dot shirt. Marlboro sticking here. And I hope one of them Christians said something to me. You remember that, Bill? I had an attitude. Then he had an attitude. He come down and what? Holy Ghost got a hold of me. And I wasn't wanting to whip them people. I was wanting to go to the altar. And the guy they had prepared to talk to me after service, Jim Gano, one of my buddies in heaven, he's the one that I done told Bill if he got out of line, I was going to dot his eye. When I got up around the altar, guess who it was that opened the King James Bible and led me to Jesus? Jim Gano. I said, man, I love you. What's your name? He said, Jim Cano. I said, I came here to whip you, and here you are leading me to Jesus. And whoa! You said, what in God's name changed your mind? What in God's name made you not want to whip somebody and want to be saved? I'll tell you what. The sweet Holy Ghost, He drawed me. He wooed me. He brought wild glory. By the way, also we find directions. Proverbs 3:3-5 and 6. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. so that thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not only under thine own understanding. And the rest of it is, and he shall direct thy paths. Woo! We find direction. Let me tell you what the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, God put a cloud up over them at day to lead them, and a fire by night. Guess who that is a picture of? The sweet Holy Ghost. I got saved and hooked into it. And you know what? I bought into it, hook, line, and sinker. I just said, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Simple. You might say, did you really mean that? Crossed my heart and hope to die. 6 months later, he called me to preach. Here I am, only been saved 6 months. I said, well, I'll go do it. I announced her on Wednesday night, same night I got saved. That's September the 1st. This September will be 40 years that God convicted me and wanted me to preach. And I just laid direct my life. I came down here by faith. There's just a little number of people down here. There wasn't no service. They wasn't no sheeters. They wasn't nothing. I mean, man, those sheeters went everywhere. And they wasn't nothing. Man, I tell you, this tastes bad. I wish they'd get a restaurant instead of a gas station. And somebody help me preach right there. And a bank. You know, one outback wouldn't hurt. And a Carrabba's would make me shout. I forgot about preaching. But he directed me down here. And then I saw great things happen. Then see, we find divine promises. Look here, sinner. He's saying, the Holy Spirit's saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest in your soul. Boy, isn't that good. Somebody shout glory. Then number three. I won't read all the verses on the board, but I want to show you this. The prayers of the saints. In Mark 5, it says, when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he besought him greatly, my daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee. And James 5 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I did that. How many of y'all do reminiscing every once in a while? Raise your hand if you do reminiscing. I do. I was thinking about my daddy this week. I thought about my mama. I went out and seen my mom this week. And I tell you what, can I pull up a chair and have a little talk? I'm not hurting or nothing. I just want to have a little talk. I'll show you what I've done. I pulled a chair up and my mom's laying here. And she was awake and she knew who I was. My mom has Alzheimer's real bad. And she can't remember everything. She knows me. And I was in there by her bed. And I said, Mama, do you remember praying for me when I was a lost boy? I'd come in 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And my mama was out of her bed. And one day I just got over by the door and listened to her. She said, Lord, would you save John David? He's on a headlong course with hell. Would you please save him? Protect him when he's out like this, and like he is tonight, too late. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person, a man, woman, availeth much. And then one night that I stayed out after 11, my mama wasn't down there praying till I got home. And the same prayer, protect John David. And Lord, save him before he destroys his life. There's people in this room right now. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. But you had a mama or a grandma or a daddy that prayed, please save David. Well, Lord, please save Denny. Yeah, you had somebody that prayed over your old wretched soul. And I want to tell you, I thank God, well, Lord, for prayer. And I thank, boy, we've been praying on Monday night. God's answered so many prayers. But I thank God for my mama. What a caution light. Look at it. That's a caution light. Your mama prayed for you. Your daddy. Your neighbor. Your sister. Somebody bowed down and prayed and prayed and prayed. And God came through. Somebody help me there. Now, how many's glad they had a praying mama and a praying daddy and friends to pray? And love was a praise. I say to you, they are powerful prayers. Well, glory. They are productive prayers. I want to tell you, they're powerful in that they'll get people saved for them. They are productive because not only they'll get people saved, but they'll get that person turned around for using their life for the glory of God. And then they are prevailing prayers. The effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I'll take you to a hill. And in my, Alice McKay done something for me special. She takes pictures and she's real good at it. She took a picture of the skull and a picture of the Eastern Gate. The last point, John 19:17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. How many of y'all went with me on that trip to Israel? You've been to Israel. Y'all remember when we went to Calvary? I'm going to tell you what, it's up in my office. You want to see it if you've never been there? There's no way you can say it's not the place. Had the nose, the two eyes, the forehead, and you look at it. That is the place of places. That's the place he took 7-inch spikes in his hands and feet. But he was beaten 1,040 times on the back that he could not even be recognized when he was up there on the cross. He was bruised. His face was contorted. And you said, why'd he do that? Because he loves you. And that's a caution light. What he done on Calvary. You said, what'd he do there anyhow? It's where he paid the penalty for your sin. I was hell bound and you were hell bound. And those people in this room not saved, you're hell bound. But you know what he done? He already paid the price. You don't have to do anything but receive it. He's already produced the pardon for your soul. It's already. God will pardon you if you'll come this morning. And he's where he provided the peace of the Spirit. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I can't hardly wait to get to heaven. But the peace that I got in my heart. Young people, the peace. Mom and Dad, the peace. I used to be an enemy with God, but now I'm a friend of God. You said how he reconciled me to God by the death of his son. And I couldn't get to God, but he got to me. And I threw up the white flag of surrender. Woo! And not only did Christ, the Holy Spirit, show me my sin, but the Holy Spirit showed me what he'd done on Calvary for you. And there ain't but one sin will take you to hell. Not drinking, not fooling around, not dope, not cursing. There ain't but one will take you to hell. And that's rejecting the cross and the Christ that died there. See the caution lights this morning? They're for you. Are you just going to go head on and say, well, I'm going to ignore what he said this morning. I'm going to ignore that, and I'm going to go head on. I'm going to tell you what you're going to go head on to. You're going to head on into hell. It's burning forever and ever and ever. And you don't have to.